man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of January 15th, 2024, season 6, episode number 2. This week, we talk about the Smashing Pumpkins looking for a new guitarist after the departure of Jeff Schroeder. Corey Taylor canceling his upcoming tour, citing mental health issues. Rush's Neil Peart will have his final book posthumously released this May. And the Black Keys will release a new album with special guest musicians this April and more. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly. All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as David. How's it going, man?
Hey, yellow.
How's everything been going?
It's good. I have to start work again on Tuesday.
So the vacation is over.
Yep, it is.
The fun time is over.
And, yep. So I'm scrambling a little bit at the end of the semester.
Getting ready.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good. Things are nice.
Right on.
I got a lot of housework done. Like all
so
the
it was
work
productive.
Yeah, everything that I've been leaving off like 6 months or so.
Yep.
So I cleaned up a bunch of like got my son's room all cleaned out and crap like that.
Nice. That's good when you can be productive and have time for yourself and relax, right?
Yeah.
Both of those things. All right, well, let's get to the rock news this week. We got lots to talk about. So as you just heard in the intro there, Smashing Pumpkins basically looking for a new guitarist. What else is going on? There's all kinds of things happening as we catch up here in the new year. Jeff Schroeder's leaving Smashing Pumpkins. Corey Taylor canceling his upcoming tour. Rush's Neil Peart got his new book coming out. Black Keys releasing a new album with special guests this April and more. So we're going to be talking about all that stuff. So let's get to it. The first story was Corey Taylor canceling his tour, citing mental health issues. He announced online, so let's go to the post right here. This is the, everybody can see it here, the official post. I'll read it to you. It is with a heavy heart that I announce the cancellation of my upcoming North American tour. For the past several months, my mental and physical health have been breaking down, and I reached a place that was unhealthy for my family and I. I know this decision will come as a shock to some and may be regarded as unpopular by others, but after taking a long, hard look at where I was going, I need to pull myself back and be home with my family for the time being. Those of you who bought tickets, VIP packages, you'll get a full refund. I send my love to the fans, my band, my family and friends, and everyone who helped me get here thus far. I can promise I'm doing everything I can to be as healthy as I can be. Until then, my apologies to everyone as we would have seen on the tour, and hopefully we'll see you again down the line. Corey Taylor. So what do you think of that?
I mean, that's good, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. I need some mental health days.
Yeah, sometimes we all kind of feel that way, just sometimes, I guess? Like we just want to, like, take a break, I guess? And maybe with him on the road, I'm guessing as a musician, you probably have temptations on the road. Maybe drugs, alcohol, women, things that could lead you astray. And I think he kind of maybe makes... you know, kind of an insinuation there that unhealthy for my family and I. So I'm guessing there's some kind of strain, obviously, with his family. Either he's gone away too much, or maybe they don't like when he's on the road and he starts partying too much. And I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there.
I mean, it's like even short trips. When I was doing a lot of research a few years ago, I would have to leave and go and research trips for like, you know, 2 months, something like that. It just sucks.
Yeah,
it really sucks.
Being away from your family too.
Being away from your family, it's like, it's just not fun.
Yep.
Like it used to be when I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, okay, time to go to, you know,
yeah,
do this or
vacation,
that, whatever, vacation or traveling alone was fun, and you could just, you know, go wherever you wanted. Then, you know, when you have a family, it's like that's where your mind is.
Yep. I couldn't be away from my wife for that length of time. I don't see how people do it, to be honest.
So I can see, I mean, even without any sort of like possible drugs or whatever, you know,
just
some things that
just family in general,
do.
Huh?
I don't think people often realize just being away, it's
right?
Just crappy.
Yep.
Know?
So
a lot of service people and
oh yeah,
people in the military, they're always having troubles because just being away is hard enough.
Well, good for him for seeing the writing on the wall, so to speak, and, you know, taking that step to be with his family. So, you know, the music can wait, right? It's not like we're clamoring, you know, as fans, like, no, we demand you tour. No, it's like, yeah.
I must have
take a step
Corey
back.
Corey Taylor.
I know, that's where they get their money, though. So it's like they got to hit the road these days, you know, to make some cash.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah,
but, yeah, take some time, man. Speaking of tours, big British heavy metal tour is coming to the U.S. with Saxon and Uriah Heep. They don't tour the U.S. very often. They're calling it the Best of British Rock and Metal Tour, kicking off in Florida. Co-headlining tour, both bands playing equal set lengths, swapping out, closing the show. I love it when they do that. You never know who's going to be closing out the show that you're going to get to see. So, very cool. Uriah Heep actually just released a new album, which is pretty impressive. They've been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
So
it's, yeah, really.
I really like it when these new bands are still putting out new music, you know. It's not probably going to live up to the old stuff, but who cares? They're still active and creative. Nothing on the West Coast, which is a bummer. But April through May, East Coast and South, you guys got a lot of dates. Check it out. More dates from Gilby Clark, this time going to South America. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses fame. He was with Guns N' Roses for quite some time. The last time Gilby Clark performed there, Slash joined him on stage back in Brazil in 2015. Clark replaced Izzy Stradlin in the GNR lineup in 1991 and stayed with the band for 3 years, and then Guns N' Roses broke up. It wasn't the most productive time for Guns N' Roses, but he definitely was part of that second album, the Spaghetti Incident and some of that other stuff. The Spaghetti Incident was horrible. And Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 was right around that time as well. So, yeah, for you guys in South America, that looks pretty cool in February coming up. And Slash is going to be joining him on that tour as he tours with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. So check that out. All right, big announcement this week from Bottle Rock. Did you see this?
Look at that.
You see the lineup yet?
Stevie Nicks and Megan Thee Stallion. St. Vincent Millie, Mike Snow.
What do you think off of the initial impression there?
That is quite a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does kind of make sense, I guess. I guess Kali Uchis and Pearl Jam. that's interesting.
And Maná, the Spanish super
group.
Yeah,
Maná.
They're huge.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
they're pretty huge, and I thought that was interesting to see them on there. You definitely have a contrast with Ed Sheeran and Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran. Wait, Queens of the Stone Age and Ed Sheeran on the same. Norah Jones and The Offspring.
Yeah. So
it's kind of okay. I'll just say, how does this work? How do they choose this lineup? Is
well,
this like an algorithm or something?
It reminds me a lot of
schizophrenic.
It reminds me of Coachella. This is trying to be a Coachella type of lineup where you're kind of getting the big people in a lot of different genres.
Yeah, this is like
you're appealing
like
to
outside lands.
Yes, it's a outside lands approach, Coachella approach. It's not one style of music, right? The way Aftershock or some of the other ones, you know, reggae, like Cali Roots, some of those ones. It's very specific kind of styles you can expect. Bottle Rock, you never know. And so, I mean, that's the kind of the cool thing and the neat thing about Bottle Rock and some of the other ones. Like it, is that it does have something for everybody, I guess, right?
True. But I'll say, as a, you know, we keep talking about, like, family stuff.
Yeah.
As a family man.
Yes, as a family man.
These kinds of shows are a lot of work.
Yeah?
Because
how so?
Because it's like, there's always, like, a bunch of different artists. And when you have, you know, we went to Outside Lands.
Yeah.
And it was like, my daughter wants to go see that.
Yep.
My son wants to go see that. My other daughter
I
wants to
go
see
this.
And I want to go see that. My wife wants to go see that. So it's like, okay, that means we have to go to freaking all the days. And we have to show up earlier.
Yep.
And we have to stay later. And we have to break up into... It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. I could definitely see that. Now, do you think that's a conscious thing from the promoters to try and...
Probably.
Yeah,
you
I think...
You get more money out of it. You know, yeah. You stay longer and, you know...
Instead of having, like, a rock day, an EDM day, whatever, you know, kind of group the artists into specific days, they cherry-pick each one for each day
so
to make
like
you want to stay.
You know, it was like... Kendrick Lamar the first day, and I'm like, oh yay, you know,
right?
And then after right before and after, it's like these other things that my kids would want to see, and it's like, oh, man,
that does sound complicated, man.
But it's smart.
It is. Like, it's smart just, from a marketing point of view.
This is what I would say. It's the Disney. You notice that on Disney movies, how they'll have like some sort of like
something
really,
for everybody.
They got something for everybody. They got, you know, what the kids are interested in. Then they got like really hot. Like protagonists, so that the mom and dad are like, oh,
yeah,
you know, and then they have, you know what I mean?
Yep,
it's like,
yep, and then they got the comedic character that's always the funny guy.
And so it's like everyone is sort of like, okay.
Yep, everyone's represented, right? So I think that's the kind of thing with these festivals. They're trying to do something for everybody, right? But at the same time, a lot of that, when that does happen, it seems like some of these bands become out of place, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like Tower of Power. Like, I love Tower
of
Power.
Wait, is Tower of Power on there?
Tower of Power is on there.
Where?
They're right there on the second day, Saturday, third line.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, but.
Tower of Power is that.
They're great.
We're kids, man.
I've seen them at the Merced Fair probably 10 or 15
different
times.
Tower of Power is always in Merced.
They're kind of an example here of, like, they're trying to do something for everybody, but that seems really out of place. Like, it'll be fun, it'll be cool. But at the same time, it's just like, why? So, you know, and Tower Power, they're great, but it's, you know, it's one of those things.
Which, and also, too, it's like, you see the one show and you're like, okay, that's great. But I mean, like, for example, on that day, Sunday, May 26th, basically, I would want to see Talib Kweli and Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep.
When are they going to be? That's complicated.
Yep.
You know? So you gotta like, and then you're like, okay, well, now I gotta camp out.
Yep.
Be at the, oh, sorry.
It's true. This is what goes through your mind, you know? And yeah, and if you go there at that time, he's probably gonna be on early, judging by where he's at in the lineup.
Yeah.
And then if you wanna see Queens of the Stone Age, there's probably a 5-hour gap in between when he played and Queens of the Stone Age. And now you gotta buy food, drinks, hang out.
Yep.
And you can't go in and
money.
Out. Yeah, there's no ins and outs.
Yep.
And that's what it's designed
for. You can't go get in your car because
your
car is parked.
No, you can't do that.
You're light years away.
You're trapped. All right, so that's Bottle Rock anyway. That's coming up. All right, let's get to the rock news. Smashing Pumpkins announcing an open call for a new guitarist. Here's their post. It says, Smashing Pumpkins are in search of an additional guitarist. The application process is open to anyone who might be interested in. Applicants may submit a resume and related materials to spguitar@redlightmanagement.com. So what do you think of that kind of general, kind of classified ad that they basically put out there on social media?
This is a good, like, plot for a 1970s, like, Brady Bunch episode.
Right,
right.
Okay.
The Smashing Pumpkins are needed. New guitarist.
And Greg, you're awesome, man.
Awesome.
You can do
it. Try out.
I don't know, guys.
And he bombs it. Or no, that's Freaks and Geeks, right? He goes in and he bombs it, and they're like, better luck next time, man. And they make fun of him, and he's smashed. He's just totally. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
For them to just throw it out there and be like, okay, guys.
Yeah, it could have been like an internal thing behind the scenes, for them to kind of do it, throw it out there.
A little more democratic, you know?
And it's kind of opening the
maybe they're tired of all the people that they know.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, let's get like some like Peruvian 15-year-old to come and play for us or something like that.
They seem to be having fun with it, according to this report. They've had everything from joke entries to extremely talented and qualified musicians, such as an application from Mike Garson, who played with David Bowie in Nine Inch Nails. He's like in his 60s.
Was it him? I saw some post on social media that said like, congratulations to the Smashing Pumpkins for having me as their new guitarist.
It was probably a joke, but
yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, because they haven't confirmed
obscure
yet.
Obscure name.
Yeah, but it's funny, man. They got shows coming up really soon though. They're going to be back on the road in June, co-headlining with Weezer.
Yeah, I want to go.
But, well, I guess you got to start learning the songs. You could be the guitarist.
Maybe I could go and play. I got to learn how to play guitar first.
All right, so check that out, guitar players. All right, new book coming up from Neil Peart. It's his final book, posthumously released, of course. It covers his lifelong passion for cars and his rare collectibles. It also includes photos of him, his favorite cars. Pages are considered to be the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer's love letter to cars. It says, it was a lifelong passion, his final work, never before seen piece completed before his untimely passing in 2020. He writes about his beloved Silver Surfers collection, which is a collection of, I think, Corvettes. Corvettes there. The joy of collecting these exquisite, rare, important sports cars, and even the bigger joy of driving them. So, pretty cool, huh?
Those are pretty.
Yeah, beautiful. And it looks like he's out there in the beach there, like out in Carmel or something.
Yeah,
about
I have
all
to say, I never thought of Neil Peart as rockabilly.
Right, like a car guy.
Yeah, like the kind of, you know, pompadour, you know, the guy with the flames on his shirt and like kind of in love with the 50s and his girlfriend has that big curl like in front of him. But, I mean, that's a very rockabilly sort of image.
Yes, definitely.
Cars and the beach right there, and it's about to have, like, Annette Funicello jump out.
A clam bake. They're going to have a clam bake.
A clam bake.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty. I like that.
1963 Chevrolet Corvette Stingray, 1964 Aston Martin DB5, all kinds of really cool stuff. And they're all silver, so that's why he calls them the Silver Surfer Collection.
Well, that's proper, I have to say. Like, all those silver, except for that one little
oddball. One little
oddball. But the chrome.
Look at, with the exception of one black, a 1964 Shelby Cobra, whose patina Neil loves so much, he wrote, "I'm not going to paint it." So he loved that one so much, he had to keep it. And it does look fabulous. I mean, it does look really nice. Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Neil Peart, man, very cool for the car collector fans out there or the Rush fans. So check that out. Looks to be an awesome one. All right, Black Keys announcing a guest-filled new LP. They have this new track, Beautiful People Stay High, that was featuring Beck and Dan the Automator. We just listened to it before we started the episode today. What was your impression of it, David? What did you think of that new Black Keys?
I liked it. I mean, we keep talking about nostalgia on the podcast.
Seems to be a theme with a lot of the music videos and styles of stuff we're seeing.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, this is the question I want to ask about this. Why do you think now we have such an appeal to nostalgia?
Yeah.
We're not looking at the future. I mean, what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's something, maybe a combination of, I think it's something with the internet era and maybe an affinity or an affection towards an era that did not have that.
Okay.
So I think there's some kind of like fascination with the younger generation and like an intriguement or whatever the term is, that they're like, their curiosity is piqued when they see these things, 60s, 70s, 80s, people before the age of the internet, you know, before all this mobile stuff that we have, how they did stuff, how they had fun, the things they liked to do. And that's why I think like things like Stranger Things kind of taps into that a little bit. With the younger
kids riding around on bikes.
What a crazy idea.
Crazy thing.
Now that's crazy, right? And but for us in our generation for a long time,
that's all we did.
Totally normal. Yeah. But now that we've strayed so far from that path, I think now that nostalgia is setting back in, like, man, kids used to just ride their bikes and not have a phone at all and just kind of like go over to their friend's house and hang out and listen to music on a CD player. And that's crazy
to them.
Watch
whatever comes on.
So now that's like almost cool and like a niche thing for a kid to do. Could you imagine what a unique or a weird person a kid would be if they just had a Walkman in their class instead of the latest iPhone, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said about, you know, doing that as like maybe a stylish thing or like a cool thing or whatever, but going back to that has kind of that nostalgia to it, you know?
Yeah, Yeah, I wonder. I mean, how old are the Black Keys?
They're not that old. Like we were saying, they're like our generation, basically. A little bit older than us, I think.
A little older than us, maybe like...
I would say they're Generation X.
Could they be kids in the 60s?
No, I think they were probably born in the 70s, I'm guessing. But I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, Maynard James Keenum was born in the 60s. Okay. He just turned 60.
I mean, Kurt Cobain was born in the 60s.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could have been very well.
I mean, because I look at this and you've got like Ohio Players on the.
Yeah. So the album's called Ohio Players.
Ohio Players. And then this is, you know, lovely, shapely woman bowling here. But I mean, that's one of those things that happened from the 19 sort of late 70s onward that things like bowling leagues and like community organizations and things like that sort of died off.
Also very Midwest.
Yeah, very Midwest. And that's sort of like high sort of industrial America when, you know, lots of union jobs in the industrial Midwest and there was a sort of a very stable type of
middle class.
Economic niche for the middle class and things like that. That has kind of like, so like looking at this, you also think about the wasteland that a lot of places in the industrial Midwest have become.
Yep.
Which is, you know, I think all right in that statement right there. It's sort of just the album cover. It's showing like this bygone era and this weird kind of feeling of knowing that it's not there the same way and it's kind of like declined. That's a quite a statement there.
And they say about the album and all the guest people that are on it, they said, quote, "We had this epiphany. We can call our friends to help us make music. It's funny because we both write songs with other people. Dan all the time as a solo artist. Me when I'm producing a record, that's what we do." So I think it's kind of cool that they called on a bunch of their friends to help them make the album. The Black Keys will play the Sundance Film Festival this month, coming up on January 19th and 21st at the Marquee Park City. The new documentary, This Is a Film About the Black Keys, will get its world premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival in March. So they got a lot of things happening. They got that documentary and then the new album coming out right after it.
Well, man, Park City is the opposite of Ohio.
Right.
Have you ever been to Park City?
I have not.
My gosh, it is an embarrassment of wealth.
Oh, man.
It is so, like, it is ridiculous.
I could see that.
You walk down the street and all the restaurants are owned by, like, these celebrities and they're, like, $200 a plate or something like that. It's just terrible.
Isn't that crazy?
But, wow. Sorry, that's not...
No, yeah, but there, what but a contrast.
Yeah, it's a big contrast, right?
Yeah,
big contrast. No bowling alleys in Park City.
Though. No, no.
Dang it.
All right, well, that's coming out in March and April, so check that out from the Black Keys. Neil Young, check this out. For the first time ever on vinyl, his album from 1969, Doom, D-U-M-E, it will be released on vinyl for the first time. The 16 songs... were originally collected for Neil Young's Archives Volume 2 release in 2020, and they decided to put this out on vinyl. Some of the recordings are from the Zuma album sessions. Others are previously unreleased. He was living in the Point Doom area of Malibu at the time of recording, hence the title Doom. It will be available on February 23rd. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. So this is the first time it's released on vinyl?
Yeah, it was never
was it
actually...
ever released at all before?
I think it was released... It says originally collected for his Neil Young's Archives Volume 2 release for 2020. So they kind of went through the archives and put this together in 2020. But no, it was never actually released in 1969 on vinyl, I guess. I don't know if it was released at all even back then.
Ooh, that's exciting. That's a good time for Neil Young, too. So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, with Crazy Horse, that's a really good time, good
like
creative.
I'd
be interested to hear it. So it looks like it's got a bunch of stuff on here. I mean, I have heard Cortez the Killer from Neil Young, so I'm wondering if, and Powderfinger. So this looks to be a collection of tracks that are definitely hits. But then there's a bunch of other ones here that I've never seen before that are from those sessions. So, very cool.
Pocahontas. That's the Just Around the River Bend.
That was it was written about the politician. What's her name? that they used to call her.
You're talking about, gosh, why can't I think of her name right now?
I know, I can't think of it. It doesn't matter.
Good gosh.
You know who I meant.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Trump always called her Pocahontas.
Yeah, Pocahontas. Oh, my God.
Man alive.
All right, well, check it out. This is a show coming up for a good cause. The Teenage Cancer Trust is having a concert at the Royal Albert Hall with The Who, with orchestra. So The Who is going to have an orchestra backing them, which is pretty cool. Legendary act from the UK, Squeeze. They're going to have a night of comedy. They haven't announced that. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, Chemical Brothers, Roger Daltrey, Robert Plant, Pete Townsend, Eddie Vedder, Paul Weller. Pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
This looks like a good, it looks to be going on for multiple days in March. And it's at the Royal Albert Hall. It runs for 7 straight nights, proceeds going toward providing treatment and support for young people with cancer. So that's really awesome. And they get some of the best musicians out there. So very cool. Check that out. Starting on March 18th in the UK, and tickets, I believe, are on sale now for that. Black Crowes got a new album that's going to be coming out and gearing up for a tour with Aerosmith. Their new single, Waiting and Wanting. This is a cover. There's the picture of their album cover, Happiness Bastards, which is going to be coming out. Do I have a release date here? I do not. We don't know. They haven't announced that, but they are announcing that they're going to be on tour North America, UK, and Europe with Aerosmith, opening for them for their farewell tour. More info, it says, will be announced soon. We have the track listing here, but that's about it. Happiness Bastards. So what do you think of that?
I always comment on the pictures because I'm so like visual, I guess, but I guess I don't keep up enough on the Black Crowes haircuts. But I don't like that haircut.
No, that, yeah.
I miss the long.
Yeah, a little short.
The 90s.
Yeah, you like Black the, yeah, Crowes. The original. Yeah,
yeah,
long hair.
What's that all about? He's not, you can't be as wiggly. Right? Because that's what I think of when I think of the Black Crowes.
Just
a lot
wiggling.
Of wiggling.
A lot of wiggling.
Tambourines and yeah. stuff like that. So, okay. Now, aside from that, though, this, I mean, I like the Black Crowes. They're good. They feel good. And I feel that they do some of that happiness.
Sure.
So,
sure.
So, I mean, I guess I am the bastard who needs that happiness.
And it's their first album in 15 years.
Yeah,
so we
yeah,
haven't heard anything
time, so.
from them for a while. So good timing for them, you know, with Aerosmith tour and all that stuff. So hopefully that does well for them. All right. RIP as we finish up the rock news this week, going out to Scorpions drummer James Kotick passed away. He was with the Scorpions for 20 years. He passed away just this past week on Tuesday, January 9th. He was also in a bunch of other bands, Kingdom Come, Montrose, Warrant, Wild Horses, and Buster Brown as well. He was a pretty prominent drummer in the UK. A lot of bands, used his talents. So, super sad. It doesn't say how he passed. It says, he was a wonderful human being, great musician, loving family. He was our brother from another mother and will be truly missed. That was a message from the Scorpions. But no other really details. Hopefully nothing too shady there. But RIP, James Kotick, great drummer. All right, some birthdays. Let's get to the birthdays. Let's do it. All right, time for some birthdays. David, take it away.
All right, the great Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin is 80 years old.
Looking pretty good, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, really. I mean, that's some... must have a good skincare routine.
He's drinking the blood of children, I think, is
keeping
him youthful. Right?
Some of that. Oh, is that the... is he one of those on the adrenochrome?
Right, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Dave Matthews, singer, guitarist of the Dave Matthews Band, is 57. David Johansen, lead singer of the New York Dolls, also known as Buster Poindexter, is 74. Pretty good. Tony Kaye, former guitarist of Yes, is 78. And looks like Ginsberg there.
He's very surprised.
He's about to go protest the Vietnam War. Donald Fagen, singer and composer of Steely Dan, is 76 years old. Zach De La Rocha, lead singer of Rage Against the Machine, is 54. 54 years young. Trevor Rabin, film composer and former guitarist of Yes, is 70 years old. Dave Grohl, drummer, former drummer of Nirvana and singer and guitarist of the Foo Fighters, is a very, very youthful 55.
That's right. He's looking sharp.
Zakk Wylde, guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne and Black Label Society, is 57. Looking very tough. Jeff Tate, lead singer of Queensryche, is 65.
There we go. I think that's it for the birthdays. All right, so how about some trivia? Let's get to some trivia. Let's do it. Where's my trivia at? This week in Rock and Roll History Trivia, let's get to it. January 12th, 1977. This musician is fined for possession of cocaine and LSD in his car, which he wrecked on May 19th the previous year. He is charged for the cocaine and for court costs, but is eventually found not guilty of possession of the LSD. Who was it this week in 1977? Was it Jerry Garcia, Keith Richards, Ozzy Osbourne, or Coke-fueled Crosby in his California cocaine Corvette? Who could it be?
California cocaine Corvette.
Yes. That was a side
possession
project.
Of cocaine and LSD?
Yeah.
I was just thinking of LSD and I was going to say Jerry Garcia. But you say cocaine and
both
LSD.
Yeah.
I guess I'm still going to go with Jerry Garcia.
Didn't change too much, huh? Jerry Garcia, all right. He's locking it in. Who was it? It's Keith Richards.
Dang it.
Keith Richards is fined for possession of cocaine and LSD in his car, which he wrecked on May 19th the previous year. Charged with the cocaine, for the cocaine and for court costs, but is eventually found not guilty of possession of the LSD. I don't know how. But here's a picture of him going to court.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at him.
Young, dapper man.
Always with that strong jawline. He doesn't have all the wrinkles and stuff.
No, not yet. This hasn't set in yet. He's still living the high life. There you go. Keith Richards, wild man. All right, some new rock and metal albums out this week. David, take it away.
All right. 12th of January, 2024, we've got Bring Me the Horizon by Posthuman, Next Gen. Marika Hackman, Bring Me the Horizon is the name of the band.
Yes.
Posthuman and Next Gen is the album. Marika Hackman, Big Sigh, The Vaccines, Pick Up Full of Pink Carnations. Okay, and then we've got Ahab, The Coral Tombs, Anti-Mazda Beast.
Okay. Sure.
Vision. Anubis, Decreation Day, Beyond the Black, Chrome, the Era of Darkness, Defy the Curse, Horrors of Human Sacrifice. Wow. Draken or Draken, one of those. Book of Black, End Time, / Cosmic Reaper. So they've got two names there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a split.
Or maybe they're joint.
It's two different bands.
Two different bands.
Yeah.
Doom Sessions. Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
Doom Sessions, Volume 7. Jared James Nichols with the self-titled album, Jared James Nichols.
Side thing on him real quick. He's a great blues-style guitar player, and he came down to the Bear Station about a year ago and did a little in-studio performance. We went and saw a show in Fresno, and he's a really cool guy.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's a great he's a Gibson ambassador. He's got his own Gibson model of guitar now.
Wait, where is he located?
He's from Tennessee, I think. He's not a California guy or anything. Okay. But he's a really great guitar player. If you're into that, check it out. Just want to throw that out there.
All right. Commandant, Titan Hammer, Obituary, Dying of Everything, Screamer, Kingmaker, Termion, Catalot, Omen X or Omen 10, one of the two. Vile Valo, Neon Noir.
There you go.
Okay, what's your favorite album name there?
Favorite
band name.
Favorite band name? I think I'm going to go with Commandant. The Commandant.
They should change it to Subcommandante.
Or Cosmic Reaper. I kind of like that.
Reaper there.
I kind of like that one,
too.
So
they go and, like, harvest things, or they kill?
I think they're mainly in space. Okay. And they're reaping souls that have drifted into space.
So this is like, you know, what's the name?
Cosmic Event Horizon.
Isn't Event Horizon like actually hell or something like that?
Oh, yeah, right. That's
See?
See?
There you go.
Cosmic Reaper.
So I'd say my favorite there is Anubis.
Anubis, yes.
He's
my favorite Egyptian god.
Right?
You know?
He's the
coyote head
or the jackal head or something?
I think he's, yeah, the one with the, that
more
looks like a dog.
Looking, yeah.
Like a dog, right?
Very good.
All right. Well, that's that. Get those albums. All right, movie, TV, entertainment news. I thought this was cool as Lily Gladstone made history for Native Americans as the first indigenous person to win the Golden Globe for Best Female Actor in a Motion Picture drama for her role in Killers of the Flower Moon. She spoke in her native Blackfoot upon receiving the award. Translated, she said, "This is a historic win, and it doesn't belong to just me." Dedicated the award to every little Rez kid, every little urban kid, every little native kid out there who has a dream. So I thought that was worth noting. Very cool.
Yeah, that is way cool.
And it seems like way overdue,
I mean, come,
to be honest.
Come pretty far, I guess, in that category. Because it's like, back in the day, you know, they would paint people red and and that kind of stuff. And they would just like take the English lines and just play them in reverse.
Yep.
To be like native languages and things
right.
like that.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy that it's been 81 years, basically, that we've been doing movies and entertainment in America here, and it's taken that long for an indigenous person to win one of these awards.
Yeah, especially considering that, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people remember when almost every movie you saw was
yeah.
a Western.
Yeah, right?
And they all had
for like 50
representations
years.
Of Native
yeah.
Americans in them.
For a good like 50 years, from like 1920 till 1970
That's
or whatever.
That's what we were raised on, is just like movies about the West being won and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of the main roles were, like you said, played by white actors or like a Mexican actor.
Yeah.
And they would get them to do that. And,
well, it's all part of that whole problem of like, whenever there's a movie about something that is non-American or non-white or whatever, like, you know, Matt Damon goes to China or something. It's
right.
always that. It's
right,
always
or
like
Scarlett
a
Johansson.
Kid or,
Scarlett
you know.
Johansson becomes the lady for Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a prominent Japanese anime.
Yeah, it's always got to be
the characters
like a
were all
playing.
Japanese, and it's like, why was Scarlett Johansson playing that when we could have picked a... You know, and that's recent. It's
yeah.
like it's still
or what's the
happening.
What's the Marvel movie, right? Where it was like, I don't know if this actually in the end is what happened, but the what's the guy's name? Is it Captain Marvel?
Or I don't know.
No.
I don't follow those.
Doctor Strange.
Okay.
He's supposed to be Asian.
Oh, right.
And then they like had what's
somebody
his name?
Else?
Cumberbatch.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch play him instead.
Yeah,
which is like
very Asian. Yes, very
yeah.
Asian
yeah,
actor.
Yeah, he's an Asian person.
You could see that. I thought this was hilarious too. Paul Giamatti celebrated his Golden Globes win at In-N-Out. There was this somebody snapped this photo of him with his Golden Globe award literally on his table at In-N-Out, probably at like midnight or 11 o'clock at night or something. Here, he won the award for Best Male Actor. And he's
that's
just,
a very Paul Giamatti thing to do.
I thought
actors are supposed to be different from the characters they play on movies.
I just thought that was great too, right? That's so good. So good for him, man. He's keeping it real. Good guy. Okay, news from around the world. This was wild. Did you hear about this? Alaska Airlines making its emergency landing as that window blew out. One of the plane's windows blew out. It was on a flight from Portland to Ontario, California. It had to land 35 minutes after takeoff due to the incident. Witnesses say their phones and other personal belongings were sucked out of the missing window. A child had to be held in his seat by his mother. One passenger was taken to the hospital. They grounded a bunch of planes after that. Alaska Airlines CEO said, "My heart goes out to those who were on this flight. I'm so sorry for what you experienced. I'm so grateful for the response of our pilots and flight attendants. Nobody died. That could have been a huge disaster." But what do you think of that kind of stuff?
You know, I would be crapping my pants.
Me
one.
Too, man. Flying.
But secondly, I'd say, you know, I was looking at this issue, and as far as I've heard to present, this is probably a manufacturing error. Like, this wasn't an engineering problem.
Right.
And Boeing and the manufacturing in Boeing, from what I heard, there's a group of Boeing employees that had been complaining that they were being overworked.
Right.
That they were producing stuff that they couldn't do quality control right. properly on. And this is what happens, right? They were yep. being squeezed, and this is what happens. It's just like we saw with the situations on railroads and all that kind of stuff lately. It's just like you got to squeeze more people's labor and get it out of them for the sake of profits, and guess what happens in the end?
Yep.
So,
and it's also, somebody made the point that some of these rows where they're putting seats in these rows where they're meant for emergency exits or whatever, that that's the greed and the kind of like, you know, the consumerism of these companies, that they, instead of, you know, just leaving that row open and safe and doing it properly, they're putting passengers in there and creating this kind of extra risk
yeah.
to get a, you know, three extra tickets sold for each flight, you know.
Now, noticeably, they didn't have anyone sitting there. Is that because they're like, well, oh, that's the sucker door?
I don't know, though. I think the picture that we're seeing is after the fact, and I think there were people sitting there.
But nobody died, though.
Nobody died.
So,
but
so there, maybe
there,
they
there
were like,
phones
oh,
that got sucked out that, like, apparently they found one of the phones, and it was still working. And so it was an it was an iPhone, yeah. They found it.
Was it one of one of the ones made out of titanium?
Could have been, but they found it in a field, and it had the boarding pass on the iPhone.
No
so they knew,
way.
Yeah, they knew it was from.
Well, they
that
found
flight.
The door. They found the yeah. thing in some teacher's backyard yep. or something like that.
Yeah, so they found a lot of the stuff.
Wow, that's
but,
crazy. Well, so, yeah, I guess they just like do the tracker, and they're like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, and they found it. Pretty wild. One of them didn't survive the phone. I guess there was two phones that got sucked out, and one of them didn't survive, but one of them did. And so anyway,
good
but
gosh.
Yeah, nobody passed or anything like that. But this is the kind of stuff.
It
that,
was over like Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah. Portland. Yeah.
Good gosh. Crazy, huh? All right. This was controversial this week as this person is a chef in Italy and took this photo here of a pineapple pizza. In Italy. Now, this is like sacrilegious, apparently, according to a lot of the locals.
Yeah,
and the...
you know why?
Why?
There's not nearly enough pineapple in that pizza.
A Naples pizzeria has been adding pineapple to Neapolitan pizzas, and Italians are divided over this topping. Pizziallo Gino Sorbillo added pineapple pizza to his menu, and creation features three types of cheese.
Is that what you call a pizza maker there? Pizzaiolo.
Pizzaiolo. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
That's great. Okay.
Here he is with his pineapples. He says, I wanted to put these disputed ingredients, they are treated like they're poison, onto a Neapolitan pizza, making them tasty. Things should be tasted first, and then you express your view.
Yeah, seriously.
While
I
agree. No. I think pineapple is perfectly fine.
I love it.
I love that it's sweet. He initially received backlash on social media. More and more customers have been enjoying a slice, while other controversial pizza toppings are now accepted in Italy, and they include chopped pistachios, powdered olives, and mozzarella foam. So I guess they're really like strict about their what they consider like real pizza.
You know what though? I hate that kind of freaking stupid stuff.
Yeah, really. Like this gatekeeping that you
it's like
not a real
people
pizza.
People eat what they want to eat.
Yeah.
Like go sit on a like a caution cone or something. Cuz seriously, it's like I've known so many of those people that
I know.
Are just like, "Oh, I can't eat that. That's so nasty," or whatever, and you just
grow
like,
up.
It's like grow up, dude.
Yeah.
Like
grow up,
eat new things, try
yeah.
new things, do new things. You'll be happy you did.
I know. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. And they, you know, I think if you're making this with your local ingredients, it's definitely an Italian pizza. Like why make an issue out of it? It's not like he's putting something totally ridiculous.
I think
on
it
there.
Looks lovely.
It
he's
looks
done
great.
It very tastefully. Too.
It looks
very
good.
Italian.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
You
I
get
eat
in
that.
Your Alfa Romeo right after you've eaten that. And sit at your white tablecloth restaurant.
All right, what do you think about the Apple Vision Pro? Have you seen this yet?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, it's a new headset.
Here I am to just go against what I just said. Don't try new things.
Don't try it. This may suck you into the Matrix. I don't know. All right, so it's a Pro headset. So the picture here is basically what you see in terms of, I guess it's like an interactive type of thing where you could see your documents, your video games, stuff right in front of you, and it feels like it's like a type of like it's like a projector.
Like it's out in front of you.
Yes, like a digital thing, and you're able to actually move things with your hands, change the pages, move things around, make things bigger, you know, stuff like that.
But then you have to do like the Minority Report.
Yes, exactly. Like Tom Cruise.
So I'm throwing the stuff around.
Yeah, moving this and right? Let me move this and turn it. Yeah, the headset's priced at $3,500. It's positioned as a competitor to MetaQuest headsets. It features 256 gigabytes of storage, offers prescription lens inserts at an additional cost. Powered by Apple's M2 chip, the Vision Pro represents Apple's entry into the virtual reality space and is considered the company's first new product category since the introduction of the Apple Watch in 2015.
Look at that.
It utilizes a new operating system, Vision OS. Innovative input system allows users to control it through their eyes, hands, and voice. Despite analyst predictions that initial revenue may be relatively modest, Apple aims to revolutionize the consumer experience in gaming and video content with the Vision Pro. It supports various productivity creative apps, including Office and Salesforce's Slack. So could you imagine using Microsoft Office and stuff like that on something like this?
I mean, personally, like Office, that would not be the thing that I would want to use that for.
Yeah.
Seems like it would be too, like for me, it's like, if too I'm cumbersome. Trying to produce some documents, what do I need all this for? Like, I just need to like be on that document, work on it. And I need, usually, I mean, I guess I could see if it's two screens, that's, maybe this could work. This could be. But I mean, if I have two screens, like right now when I'm working, I'll have like calendar over here. I'm typing up like a syllabus or something like that. I have the syllabus here. And then I have like the course like shell where I'm like making the actual course. And I usually have like a few screens. So yeah, I could see that being something.
Yeah, it seems like kind of what they're trying to do here. People multitasking. And then the thing that's interesting too is the video game and the movie aspect as well. They were showing the way that it looks like you could watch basically a movie like it's you're in the theater and it's like this big ultra high def whatever they were saying. It's something so many gigabytes per eye. It's like 8 or I don't know. I forget the way they described it.
I don't like the sound of that. I don't like the sound of that gigabytes per eye.
I know. Yeah, it's like 8K resolution per eye or something like that. It's crazy. And the amount of, like, detail that you're going to be able to see, I guess, in these things.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, as with all technological, like, innovations, I'm like, yeah, they're all great, wonderful. The only thing that bugs me is it's the capitalists that own it and then decide how it's going to be used and moved
and
out.
Price
so basically,
it
this
at a point to where hardly anyone can really... every regular day
eventually
people.
Eventually it will become cheaper, and then what it will mean is they'll make more money, and then there will be fewer jobs for everyone else.
Right.
Whenever there's an innovation like this, what it means is there's going to be fewer jobs.
Yeah, eventually.
More people have to work at Taco Bell.
Yeah, and they use them at the beginning and have a high price point, and then once they do all that stuff, then they cut the staff in half, and then they cut the price in half.
Yeah.
And make it available for everybody. Now that we've got what we needed from you smart people, now we're going to consumerize this thing, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
And I would say I wouldn't really, that doesn't look very comfortable to wear.
It doesn't.
It looks like a whole lot of stuff on your head.
Yep, I wouldn't want to be doing that for a long period
of
time.
And there's a cord too?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know. That's a good point.
And, you know.
It's a good point.
I mean, I like cords if you have,
I don't know.
You know, it's just hooked into the. That is okay.
We'll see. It's coming out soon. February 2nd, you can get a pre-order. So.
Oh, yay.
All right, you looking for a new job? Oscar Mayer is seeking to hire 12 hot doggers for a full-time, year-long position driving the iconic Wienermobile.
Wienermobile.
27-foot-long hot dog on wheels.
Have you ever seen it before?
I have seen it in person.
Where was it?
It was at Save Mart in Merced. They did a little thing where they showed up, and I only know that because Dave Luna was out there, and we have a picture of him with it.
Dave Luna.
And he took a picture with them, and they did a promotional thing. So
Look at that.
I guess they drive around, and they do promotion-type stuff.
So I feel like the Oscar Mayer, like, headquarters is in where around where I went to school in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah?
And I would see the Weenie Mobile all the time.
All the time,
all
huh?
All the time.
It looks pretty fancy and new. I got to say, it's like pretty cool looking.
It still has the chrome on the wheels, though.
Yep, that is true. It says the base salary, $35,000. Weekly $150 allowance. You get paid days off. You get full coverage of hotel expenses.
Do you have to live in the Weenie Mobile?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like it. But I guess for a kid, it's like
you drive it around.
Old.
Like,
yeah.
You like drive it around through the United States, right?
Yeah, you do. It says through 20 different states.
$35,000. I mean, that sounds like a good sort of like
21-year-old
like
job.
Just graduated high school, and you're like, I want to do something. I don't want to go to college yet.
So
$35,000, though, that's like, I mean, nowadays, that's
it's not a
equivalent
lot.
To a lot less than it used to be.
Yep, sure is. But, I mean, hey, you know, that seems like a cool, I don't know, cool life experience, I guess.
Yeah.
Something interesting to put on the resume. All right, here's the last story of the week. Florida man sues Dunkin' Donuts over exploding toilet. Yes.
Bart Simpson is.
I know, right?
Like dropping in the chair.
He claimed he was injured by an exploding toilet in one of the coffee chain's locations. I searched long and hard for pictures and a video of this, but I couldn't find it. So this is all I could find. Paul Kerouac is seeking more than $100,000 in a lawsuit filed Wednesday in Orlando, claiming he suffered severe long-term injuries following the explosion of a toilet in the men's room of a Dunkin' location in Winter Park, Florida, a year ago. It says, after the explosion left Kerouac covered in human feces, urine, and debris, he walked out of the men's room seeking help from workers and the store's manager, according to the lawsuit. An employee told him that they were aware of the problem with the toilet since there had been previous incidents, the lawsuit says, without delving into further details about the explosion.
What?
Yeah. So
previous incidents?
There was previous incidents. They said they were aware of the problem with the toilet.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Yeah, that toilet.
We just keep
what are we going to do?
Install a new one. It just blows up.
It blows up the poop, and I don't know. We don't know what to do.
This is in Florida, though, right?
Florida, yeah. That's I don't know why I was talking like a New Jersey person. When contacted Thursday by email for more details, his attorney, Scott Spradley, said he was tied up, couldn't answer the questions. The Canton, Massachusetts-based company did not respond, seeking comment. Says he suffered bodily injury and required mental health care and counseling since the incident in January of 2022.
Well, really, though, think about it.
Yes.
You ever been a little kid sitting on a toilet thinking the poop monster is going to, like, reach you? Or did you ever see that movie, Ghoulies?
Oh, yeah, Ghoulies.
There's, like, a little guy in there, and
yeah,
he, like, stabs
gremlin.
The guy.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man. That,
could happen.
I needed some counseling after that. So imagine if you had a toilet blow up underneath your butt.
I want to know how this toilet blew up, though. What does it mean by exploding toilet? Like, the water just started erupting out?
Well, because when he says covered in human feces,
yeah,
and
urine and debris,
but then
it says and debris.
Debris in there. That could be anything. That could be
I
bits
don't know.
Of toilet paper, or it could be broken porcelain.
Yeah,
like is it
I don't
actually
know.
Exploding?
I don't know. I guess we're just gonna have to
maybe
see.
Maybe they hooked up instead of hooking the water up to the toilet, they hooked up the gas. Right?
High pressure gas line.
Like, I just lit up my cigarette on the toilet.
Yeah. There you go. Maybe that's what it was. He was smoking a cigarette.
Right?
Could
and
have
that
been.
That was the debris. Was
that's,
the little cigarette.
You know, that's. I think we cracked
you know,
the case.
No, actually, no, think about it.
Could have been.
This is the thing. You ever seen. So you know that deposits of natural gas
can
be released from water.
Yeah.
Like down in the groundwater. So you could have some natural gas.
It
could have
been.
Through there and.
Maybe his natural gas was so extreme.
Combined.
All right, that's enough. RockNewsWeekly.com, guys. Check us out every week. And, of course, on Spotify, we are everywhere, Twitch.tv, YouTube, all that good stuff. See us every week, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one, all right? Peace.
See you later.